the same style. It's double standards. Let us face Israel within the United Nations, and let us face Israel within the European Union. Let us face Israel within the Russian Parliament. Let us pressure as one lobby, as Arab nations within the whole globe. Why not the ambassadors of the Arab nations in all the major capitals of the earth shall stand up on their feet and meet with the presidents of those international nations that can pressure or lobby against Israelis' interest in the area, especially at Palestine right now. I mean, this is another mass murder. We are not surprised. This is Israeli politics and tactics. But we are fed up of this. They have never learned that their mistakes shall never accomplish anything, but they shall accomplish fear and less of power within their own powers of the ministries of the government of Israel. Israel is absolutely dying within years. Israel shall be out of the area within years. She is asking for it, not us as Arabs. Iran is there against Israel right now. Iran is supporting the Palestinian cause. Iran is supporting the Hezbollah of Lebanon. And we shall support, as civilian leaders in Lebanon and the Arab world, anything that deals with the righteous, the just, and a fair policy that deals with peace in the area. We don't believe in Israel. Absolutely. We cannot shake hands with the Israelis. They are our enemies. They are the enemies of God. And we shall not, according to us, submit to any Israeli pressure or empowerment by airstrikes, by bombardment, by artillery shells, by any method that they shall apply. We are, you know, believers, and we are believers in God, either Christians or Muslims of the Arab world. We shall stand up to the Israelis in Palestine, in Lebanon, or any Arab states that you believe in.
Of course, Israel says that it is in fact Hamas at fault here, and that it is a repercussion of their actions that this has taken place, and echoing that, Hamas says that in fact it is Israel's fault. You picked up on a carrot and stick approach and linked it to the carrot and stick approach so-called going on in America right now. You've talked of George Bush earlier, you spoke of Hillary Clinton and the new administration. What of the timing of these attacks? We know that the truce ended last week, but we also know that Israel has had internal political problems. There is elections round the corner there, and we're days away from the presidency being handed over from George W. Bush over to President-elect Barack Obama. What of the timing of this attack? And do you expect any change as President-elect Barack Obama has promised?
Well, if Barack Obama wants the real change, let him face Israeli politicians inside Israel. And let us, you know, hear some good news that the true democracy can be applied through Israel. But I don't believe this. Barack Obama has not picked up on Israeli politics so far. And he has not been involved so far as a president-elect. I urge President Obama, if he hears me or hears any Arab leader in the world, that he can intervene right now as a president-elect, because he was, you know, elected by the American people, and truthfully and democratically. But Barack Obama doesn't have a policy-making right now issue. The president, the current president, unfortunately, is President George W. Bush, and he's leaving office. So Israel is, you know, investing in the time right now. This is an excellent timing for Israel to hit hard on the Palestinians inside Gaza. Plus, let us go back to the history. When Condoleezza Rice became the Secretary of State, she promised a new democracy, a new Middle East. I hope not. There should be no another agenda or not another peace process, but upon artillery and airstrikes against the Palestinian people and the Arab world. We shall not submit to any new democracy involved by the United States through its own agenda right now to the new administration headed by Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State. We shall not address any American to intervene. As Arab nations, we shouldn't do this. We are a free country, you know, in Lebanon, for example, or any Arab nations, and we shall only submit to international law and to the convention in Geneva and the United Nations Security Council laws, let's say. And let us apply them. And we shall never forget the invasion of Israel in 1982 to the mass murders of Lebanese civilians and elderly people and children of Lebanon. We never forgot this. with it's all on our, you know, subconscious minds. All the children of Lebanon, I was back then 14 years old. I'm right now 40 years old or 41. We can never forget. And Israel shall pay the price, either in the rule of law that can be applied internationally or legally through the Geneva Conventions, or the Supreme Higher Courts of the European nations in Lahai, for example. Let us try Israel, and let us support this issue that we can do something to the new Palestinian state, hopefully, within a couple of years or 3 years. I am optimistic, even though there's a war against the Palestinians, Palestine shall take independence very soon, and we shall never surrender as one nation in Palestine. And hopefully, the Lebanese presidency and the government will support, and myself, on behalf of all civilian leaders in Lebanon, we are absolutely, you know, surprised. I'm sorry. We are absolutely amazed of this atrocity so far against the Palestinian children, against the Palestinian women, and the elderly of Palestinian brothers and sisters inside the Gaza Strip. We can never forget what happened in Lebanon, and we shall never forget today what's going on inside Palestine.
About what's going on now today, you say that you haven't given up hope of a Palestinian state, but a few moments earlier you said that Israel will be gone, to quote your own words, in the next few years. Condoleezza Rice, which you mentioned, has been working on a two-state solution. Where has this left those peace efforts? Can a two-state solution be viable?
To most international political analysts, this is can be viable. Maybe I mentioned it earlier, like I was in London last month, but I think this is absolutely absurd. Israel cannot let you build your own state. She doesn't want to. She only wants to have a small territory of Gaza and the West Bank for Palestinians. If we remember President Clinton back when he was in presidency, he did offer 16% of the Palestinian territories to get back to, or give it back to Yasser Arafat back then, the president of Palestine. If you remember with me, Ehud Barak did retaliate by condemning this, and they created a certain Monica Lewinsky affair in the White House. And they hurted Bill Clinton so badly that it did affect his own personal character, his own presidency in the United States, and his own personal affair with his own wife, let's say. This has created a chaos in the United States because President Clinton stood up and said, I need only 16%. It's absolutely unbelievably and intolerable what's going on here right now in Palestine, you know, and everywhere in the Arab world. We should stand up once again. I'm telling you this. We shall not surrender. We shall not provide but aid, medical aids, and food and shelter to our children inside Palestinian territory such as Gaza. We never trusted Israel, and we shall never trust Israel again. We only need one Palestinian state, and we shall never provide any defense styles or mechanisms to defend Israelis' security, let's say, blah, blah, blah. You know, this is absolutely absurd, and this is absolutely bad tactics and politics by the United States.
Salim,
especially by the Secretary of State.
Can I just
and
cut you in there,
of
Mahir?
The United States so far, they have defended...
Mahir, can I just cut you in there? Because we are actually going to leave you there. We'll come back to you. Many thanks to political analyst Mahir Salim joining us from Beirut. But we want to get... some political reaction from this now. We're joined on the phone by Abdullah Fatah, spokesman, joining us in Ramallah. Many thanks for being with us here on Press TV. Can we please get your official reaction to today's events?
Well, this is a massacre carried out in a collective punishment against the Palestinian people by the criminal Israeli government and army. Condemnation is not enough against this crime, which is a crime against humanity, and it's supposed to be stopped right away. All our efforts has to be directed to put an end to this massacre. We are united as Palestinians. The Palestinian blood is one, be it of Hamas, of Fatah, or any other Palestinian faction. We all are Palestinians. And this must be a unifying call for our political leadership to stand up and fight in a completely united front against this Israeli crime.
Mr. Abdullah, as you were speaking, we were getting in some breaking news here on Press TV that Israeli Defence Minister Ehud Barak has said that the operations will not be short in Gaza and that they will be ongoing. What's your response to that?
Well, we understand that Israel is trying to penetrate the situation that which is not healthy between the Palestinian various factions. This division has probably encouraged Israel to utilize it as a pretext for its continued attack. We will prove Israel is wrong, and we will be united as we are united in the battlefield in the face of the Israeli attack. We will be united on the political front as well. And this will never affect our morale, nor it will affect our steadfastness in the face of the Israeli aggression.
Mr. Abdullah, there you talk about unity, and this is a very important and critical issue being discussed inside Palestine. Unity, I assume, of utmost importance right now. What is Fatah doing to aid Gazans and Hamas, the people elected to reside over the Gazan people at this crucial time right now?
So forget about Hamas being elected by the Palestinians. We are standing by our people in Gaza at all levels, economic, political, and our military position was demonstrated by Ali Hijazi, the first martyr, who is Fatah military leader in Gaza Strip, where he was martyred last Tuesday. So no one should be speaking about elected or not elected. We are in a battlefield confrontation with the Israelis, and this will never, we will not allow anybody to try to make these comments or try to divert the attention by blaming this or blaming that. This is not time for scoring points. It's a time for a united front and united political stand.
And of course, Mahmoud Abbas on that united front has called for urgent contact with Arab countries and a united Arab front. What are you hearing from Arab countries?
Well, of course, our countries are our strategic depth. We will always consult with them, contact them, ask their help, ask their support in a unified, not in an axis-making front, divided and working against each other. We want everybody to be united behind our people in their struggle for the freedom of their country and the liberation of their land.
But there's been criticism throughout the day and previously as well that Arab countries are not doing enough. Specific criticism of countries such as Egypt that have closed the Rafah crossing, that they've done too little too late.
We don't accept that. This is not a time for exchange accusations or verbal attacks. This is not what we do. This is not what we ask for. We ask anybody who can stand with us, who can be with us, and we will never allow ourselves to exchanging bad words about each other.
So what is Fatah doing right now? What is your organization doing right now? What are they gathering? What are they implementing? What are the actions taking place in these crucial hours?
Well, at these hours, our people are in the streets expressing their condemnation of the attack. Our leadership is in direct contact with all those who can affect the changes of the situation. We have two immediate goals. One is to stop this aggression directed against our people by the Israeli government and army. Second, we have to unite our ranks and to be one in the face of these challenges facing us.
Okay, Abdullah Fatah spokesman in Ramallah there joining us. Many thanks for being with us.
Let's now go to
our correspondent Shireen Yassin. Shireen, where are you and what can you tell us is going on around you? Do we have Shireen on the line?
Can't hear you.
Shireen, if you can hear us, just wanted an update from you.
Yes, well, let me tell you that we are just now on our way from Jerusalem Al-Quds towards the Gaza-Israeli borders, and on the way, all around Al-Quds, all the borders are shut, and the soldiers have tightened their procedures and security around the West Bank, fearing that there might be some reactions, spontaneous reactions from people. In Jerusalem, inside Jerusalem, Al-Quds, people have announced a strike, a general strike, an open-ended strike, protesting the Israeli strike against Gaza today, and demonstrating against the killing of innocent people. We have received a statement from the Israeli Defense Minister, Ehud Barak, saying that this strike was important and necessary to impose calm and quietness in the Gaza Strip, indicating that there is chaos in Gaza, and now it's time to put an end to that.
We were just speaking before we came to you to a Fatah spokesman saying unity right now is the most important thing, we're seeing where you are, solidarity from the people at least to what's happening in Gaza.
Yes, exactly. Well, it is important now to reunite and to Fatah and Hamas and all the Palestinians to put their hands with each other. We have been listening to reports from Israel, fearing that this operation might bring the two sides together, something that all the meetings and all the reconciliation plans did not work in the past few months. Mohammed Dahlan, he was one of the Fatah officials in Gaza, he said and announced that all Fatah people will show solidarity with Hamas and will stand side by side with them inside Gaza, calling for all members of Fatah to go to the streets and protest and stand on the Gazans' side and on Hamas' side. So, of course, Palestinians hope that this will bring Palestinians, this will bring unity to the Palestinians. But of course, this is a heavy price that Palestinians are paying. They're paying their lives and their blood in order to unite, something that Palestinians should have done many, many months ago.
Okay, Shireen, thanks for the update. I'm sure we'll be speaking to you again soon. And the breaking news is that the death toll has risen. Now 195 at least Gazans have been killed in these attacks. The Israeli officials have said that 100 tons of bombs were dropped on Gaza by mid-afternoon. Well over 800 people are injured. The death toll and those injuries are expected to rise. Let's get reaction now from Iran. We're joined by the advisor to the Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, Mr. Ali Akbar Javanfekh. First of all, Mr. Javanfekh, give us the Iranian response to these attacks today.
In the name of God, this very unfortunate event that took place in Gaza, and this is another dark page in the history of the Israeli regime. And this is not a show of power, it does not show that they're powerful, it shows their weakness and the fact that they're unable to confront the oppressed nation of Palestine. This is not an achievement for Israel, and they're not going to gain anything by this, and they will face dire consequences, and as both as propaganda is concerned and also politically speaking. We do think that the Israeli regime in the last days of the year have actually offended the feelings of the Christians of the world with these things, the atrocities that they are committing, and the followers of Jesus Christ will surely be offended by these horrible actions, and they will be angry. I do think that Israel will certainly have to be held responsible for this, and the international community will have to come up with a suitable response to this atrocity. And this is not only the Muslims that will have to react, the whole world should stand up against this. And I do think that the Islamic Republic of Iran can play a very important role in bringing all the countries of the world together to condemn this action. And I do believe that today's atrocities and raids prepared the necessary grounds so that the world can unite against Israel and demand that they stop these atrocities and put an end to the life of Zionism, because Zionism showed its true face, and it is actually depending on different kinds of crises and the crimes committed. I do think that we need to give a very strong response, collectively speaking.
You spoke of the international community there. They were criticised, especially certain Western nations, of silence over the ongoing siege in Gaza. And you say that now that this has been a good precedent for some action. Why do 195 people need to die before there is condemnation of a situation that has been going on for months, we could say 18 months, since the election of Hamas in Gaza?
I just lost your voice. Could you repeat the question?
Yes, you talked of the international community and that this being a good precedent for action to take place. Why was there silence before, and why has there needed to be 195 deaths for some international action or reaction to have taken place?
Yes, you're right. The international community should have acted promptly. But this is not the first time that they are remaining silent and turning a blind eye to the crimes committed by the regime in Israel. The root of this thing is quite obvious. You know, we have some bullying powers of the world and those who want to dominate different international circles and international institutions, and they do not allow countries to get their rights. But I do think that right now the public opinion is ready for a good response, and people are becoming aware all over the world concerning this very unstable situation in the world order. And they do believe that this is an unfair order, and they do believe that things will have to change. And I do believe that this is all the more important right now, internationally speaking, and now we have to change the world order, and it's quite obvious. Let me say this parenthetically, that right now we cannot depend on international organizations, and nations should act themselves and try to condemn these actions. Of course, there are certain countries of the world which are acting independently of international organizations, and regionally we have witnessed the formation of different kinds of groups, and they have quite an influence on international affairs. They can also do their best to condemn this. But most important is the condemnation and the reaction of the different countries of the world, and I think that as of tomorrow we are going to witness such reactions and such responses given by the nations to Israel.
Okay, Mr. Ali Akbar Javanfecht, their advisor to Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, many thanks for being with us. Let's get some more reaction from inside Iran now and talk to Member of Parliament Kazim Jalali, Member of the National Security and Foreign Policy Commission. We were just speaking there to Mr. Ali Akbar Javanfecht, and he said that Iran can play a role now in uniting regional countries and forming a response.